This morning, I want to speak to you about the laying on of hands. And this is going to be a little different today, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start there. And I'm going to share some things with you about the laying on of hands that I don't remember actually hearing anybody teach it quite the way I'm going to approach it today. And I feel like God just put this on my heart and reminded me of some things that we've maybe been missing out on that we need to get reactivated in this house. So if you're in Hebrews chapter 6, look with me to verses 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Why does that say 6, 1 through 3? I mistyped. Is verse 6, does it say therefore? Verse 1 says therefore? Chapter 6, verse 1 says therefore? Oh, I see what it is. It's just that the chapter 6:6 was in front of them when I copied it over. Yeah, okay. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Everybody say foundation. Foundation. The foundation of, number one, piece of foundation, repentance from dead works, and of, number two, foundation, faith toward God. And of, here we go, number three foundation, doctrine of baptisms. And number four foundation, laying on of hands. And number five foundation, resurrection of the dead. And number six foundation, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So, you got these foundation pieces that he's talking about. Foundation piece number one, repentance. How many of you know it means to change the way you think? I know when you change the way you think, you might cry a lot. You might be like, how did I miss this all this time? You know, I tell people, it's like, I could have had a V8. You know, it's changing the way you think. And faith towards God, trusting God for everything, believing that God's working something out, and he is. It's a big deal. And doctrine of baptisms. Let me just say this. Most of us, you know, we know about water baptism, and most of us in this house, not in every house, do they know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is let me just put it this way. Baptism literally is better just plainly translated immersed. I was immersed in water to represent the cleansing. I was immersed in the Spirit to release the gifts. I want you to know there are other immersions. Like some of you need dunked again. In the Spirit, in the things of God. Maybe you need to get rebaptized into Bible reading. Maybe you need to get rebaptized. There's other things where you immerse yourself into what God's doing and you are surrounded by what he's doing. It's a good thing. And I can't preach on all these today. Laying on of hands is what I'm going to talk about. Resurrection from the dead, that's something we've literally seen. Some people have literally participated in, as testified last week, and that's not just in the here and now, but there is going to be a resurrection from the dead in the end, and there's a lot to that. Could preach on that for a while. And eternal judgment. Some people hear eternal judgment and they think, ah, you failed. Do you know that everybody's going to be experiencing an eternal judgment, and a lot of us are going to be like, how to do? And he's going to go like, you did really well here and here and here. I did that. And he's going to, and you know, I don't mind being told my successes. I don't mind God telling me how, you know, because he's not going to judge me for what I did wrong, because I don't have to worry about that. I'm under the blood. So these things are all there. But the laying on of hands, I got to thinking about that. The writer of Hebrews, and we're not sure who he was. There's arguments theologians love to do. I don't care. This guy gives us these six foundations, and I want to draw our attention to laying on of hands because it's a principle. It's a thing that, don't do it without the prince, but it's something that God wants us to have on a regular basis in our lives, more than I think we think about it. So before I get any further, I need Mark and Kurt and John to come up here. And you guys, you three stand right here. I'm going to lay my hands on them and pray for them. Get close enough here, I can get like this. All right, good. Here we go. Father, just use these men mightily now as they touch a whole lot of people with your goodness and your blessing, healing, whatever is needed, God. Let it flow through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm about to release these men on you while I preach. I told him this is research and development. We've never done it this way before. But we are a research and development church. So what they're going to do is, I know that it's going to be a little bit tight, but not too tight, because we have the pews spread out wide enough for that great big vacuum. So there's room for them to walk. So they're going to go behind each one of you, all three of them. They're going to lay one shoulder, the other shoulder, and one in between. And they're just going to bless you for a couple of seconds, just a little bit. Unless God keeps them someplace for a long time, and then you are going to, no. So they're just going to go around, they're just going to bless you all while I'm preaching. And this is a gentle hand on you, okay? So they're not going to wring your neck or do anything wild. At least I don't think they are. Now, if something wild happens and it's a spirit, well, what are we going to fight the spirit? No. So they're just going to go begin. Just start over there, guys, and just begin to do that while I continue to preach. And they're not going to be able to maybe hear me as well as you. And if they get in front of you and you can't see me, that's all right. Just keep listening. Just keep listening, because we're going to edumacate you today. And they're just going to bless each one, and that's going to be good. And, you know, I'm excited about what we're going to experience today, because this won't be the end of it either. We've got a lot planned. The first thing I want to touch on is something that's misunderstood about the laying on of hands. And it's a scripture that's referred to a lot of times, and they'll say things like, lay hands on no man suddenly. The King James Version, lay hands on no man suddenly. Which I like, because that means you can lay hands on a woman suddenly, but you can't lay hands on no man suddenly. And that's not what it means. And I think that's a stupid understanding right there. I think there's been another stupid understanding kind of stuck with it. Maybe you've heard that if you lay hands on somebody, that you can get what they've got, as though it was contagious. Or somebody said it like this, you can get slimed. Or I've heard it the other way around, where if they lay hands on you, don't let no one lay hands on you if you don't know they're, you know. And how many of you remember I wrote a book on fear? Yeah, I don't have that going. So let me give you the verse in context so you can understand where this verse came from. And this is going to be probably the key piece to help us to have more freedom in doing what God wants us to do. 1 Timothy 5 verses 17 through 22 says, let the elders who rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and before Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. So people hear this, and the context is very important. This is a context about how you handle church leadership. That's what the context here is. It's about, you know, leaders being good to them and being careful if they error. And leaders do have errors. So you want to be careful with the errors of leaders. And it's not talking about laying on of hands the way some people think it is. They think it's saying, you know, don't lay your hands on them in approval or blessing or something like that. I'm going to help you with that. I want to give you an example of the kind of laying on of hands that this is referring to. This is the kind of laying hands that this is referring to. Mark 12:12. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. This was Jesus. They were mad at him, and they wanted to grab him. Sometimes when leaders do stupid stuff, people want to grab them. And they want to take them someplace and bring them before some kind of a discipline or a judgment or something. They want to get on them. You did wrong. That's the kind of laying on of hands that that's talking about. I want you to know there are two kinds of laying on of hands in the Bible. And if you just pull up on a concordance or, you know, one of these programs, you pull up laid hands, laying hands, lay hands, you're going to see two kinds. Some that is aggressive in a negative way, to make something happen and to force something, and some that is blessing and positive and the hand of God being extended through us. They are not the same. So if you lay hands on somebody to bless them, that's not the same as laying hands on them to grab them. And it's telling us in that scripture that I read from Timothy not to lay hands on anyone suddenly. That's the aggressive grabbing you to make you straighten up kind of thing. It's not the thing that we do when we're in the house of the Lord praying for one another. Okay, got it? That one's been misunderstood, and I hope you understand it now because it's important that you do. So don't lay hands on anybody suddenly if you're mad. And don't be afraid to lay hands on anybody suddenly if you're glad and you want to bless them. Got it? Good. That's taken care of. And by the way, if you think that laying hands on somebody puts you in danger, let me read to you from the Apostle John, 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Period. I lay my hands on somebody and they got something wrong with them, it ain't going to be wrong with me. I lay my hands on somebody and I bless them, that blessing is blessed. I mean, they're going to be blessed. Whether they want to be blessed or not. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Okay, I think we've settled this. I will not hesitate to lay my hands on anybody. Not going to do it. I'm going to pray for people that need it. And sometimes the demons are going to come out. Sometimes they're going to get healed. Sometimes they're just going to get blessed. Sometimes it's going to seem like nothing happened, and then a few days later, something's going to have happened. And they didn't even know it happened. Jehovah sneaky. By the way, to my knowledge, Jesus never laid hands on anybody to discipline them or grab them or force them into something. That's not who Jesus was. So I'm going to lay hands like Jesus did. That's what I'm going to do. And we have been given a mandate to lay hands on people. It is a foundational truth. That's a different picture than I think we've had. I think we've hesitated to lay hands on people for some reason. I want to wipe out that hesitation today. I want us to get to be the kind of people who lay hands on people off. I saw it this morning when I got here. Someone was laying hands on somebody else, praying. And I was like, yeah. That's what kind of church I want to pastor. Crazy people who just lay hands on people. But you're not crazy because it is one of those six things that's foundational. Wow. Do we look at it that way or do we kind of think, well, that's something we do sometimes? And I think the devil doesn't want us to know that we should lay hands on people because I think it scares the devil that we might lay hands on some people. And devils don't want to be cast out. But they don't want to be anywhere near us blessing and laying hands on people either. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, I saw this beautiful passage that I think is probably the best thing that I can say in this whole sermon. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let me lay my hands on you." No, he didn't do that. He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid hands on them and blessed them. That's what's going on right now. This team is walking around the room and they're just laying hands on people gently. And there's just this blessing of God that's just going around the room. Is that okay? That's a good thing, isn't it? I like it. And I don't think we can have too much of that. So that might be something that we just need to get more cognizant of. Like, am I thinking about, am I looking for an opportunity to lay hands on someone? And I don't know that very many Christians anywhere in the world are thinking, boy, who can I lay hands on today? I'm at work. I'm looking for someone to lay hands on. I'm at school. I want to lay my hands on someone today. And if nothing else, just bless them. Now, how many of you remember that when I first came to this church, and some of you weren't here when I first came to this church, but we would do communion about once a month. And that, by the way, was more than some churches that I knew of were doing communion. Less than others, but more than a lot of churches that were like us at the time were even doing them. I knew churches like us. We were Assembly of God-like. And some of the Assemblies of God, as I understood it, did it quarterly, and some did it monthly. But we started doing it weekly. And when we started doing it weekly, there were people who were worried. Well, you know, if you do it all the time, it's just going to become a ritual like it is in so many other churches. And pretty soon people will just take it and it's just a ritual and what. And I thought, it doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't ought to be that way. I'm glad that this church takes it every time we gather on Sunday. And we figured this thing out, even when we had a little bigger crowd than we've got right now. Did any of you remember there was a diagram on the board that showed you how to enter those two aisles and then go out, and nobody followed it, and people ran into each other, and it was hard at first. But we figured it out, and we were able to make it work every Sunday, even with three times the number of people that we have now. It wasn't a problem, just people followed the diagram, and they were able to get out, get their communion, get back, and it was great. And sometimes we've even had you come up front. We did that not too long ago where we had everybody come up front and just come up here and stand and receive communion, then go back to their seats. And there's just different reasons we do different things at different times. But it doesn't have to become ritual. And what if the laying on of hands wasn't just a ritual? By the way, there are churches where it's a ritual. They even call it a ritual. And they only do it under certain circumstances, for certain reasons, for certain people. And a lot of times they only do it because they're recognizing somebody has something from God. Well, you all got something from God. That's why at our church we say, be the one. Bethel is a church about you being the one. And you don't have to have some special collar or special hat or anything else to lay hands on people. You get to do it too. Isn't that fun? Wow. So, in the same way, I want us to start seeing ourselves, setting ourselves free, if you will, to lay hands more, to pray more for each other. Luke 4:40 says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. I was looking at this verse, this occurrence, this event took place, and you see it in three Gospels out of four. And in one of them it says, the whole town came to him. The whole town came to him. And he laid hands on all of them. Isn't that amazing? If we took the example of Jesus, and by the way, there are other examples of Jesus doing the same thing. There are many of them. And started laying hands on more people, I think that might be a good thing. Now, I'm going to caution you. You do want to be sensitive to people. How many know there are people who you lay your hands on them and they may have, I don't know, there's probably a name for this, handophobia. And you know, they don't want to be touched. Wash your hands before you do it. Maybe. But nevertheless, I believe that you can start seeing God work in you just the same as he's worked in others and as he did in his son Jesus. And I like it. So we can see example after example after example, but you're going to see in a minute it wasn't supposed to end with Jesus. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is your verse if you need permission, because you don't have permission, you have a mandate. Mark 16, 15 through 18, and he said to them, that would be us too, said to us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who is believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they eat any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's you. That's you. You get to do it too. Be the one that does that. Practice here. If you're not really sure you can do it out there, practice here. You need to practice laying hands on somebody. Just come bless me. I'll sit there and let you. Or I'll stand there and let you. Or whatever the deal is. I just believe in this with all my heart. So we get to be the one who did what Jesus does. That's what the be the one in our name means. Bethel. Be the one. In the book of Acts, hands were laid on people to heal. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 28. And by the way, in Acts chapter 9, the guy was nervous about going and laying his hands on the guy because the guy's name was Saul, who hadn't yet become Paul. And he had come to that town to kill everybody who was a Christian. And this guy gets told, go lay hands on him. Isn't that interesting? After what I said at the beginning. Hands were laid on people to impart authority. Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 13. You can read about it in those chapters. People also received the Holy Spirit when hands were laid on them. Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 19. So sometimes when you start praying for somebody, they just get a Holy Spirit boost. They just get another baptism. Well, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's when you speak in tongues. Oh, shut up. No, when you get immersed in the Holy Spirit, he does whatever he wants to do. And I need immersed in the Holy Spirit more, probably because I just shut up. Get him, Jesus. You know, I think most of us understand, the disciples were in the upper room, and Jesus came to them on the day of his resurrection, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember? But then he said, wait a minute. In a few days, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. Well, what did we get a minute ago? There's more than one experience with the Holy Spirit. And the laying on of hands is the releasing of that so that the Holy Spirit can do more. Whether it's blessing or healing or deliverance or whatever it is. That's why the laying on of hands is so important. And oddly enough, he wants us to actually physically do it. There's something about that. I don't understand it completely. I don't claim to have it all figured out. But God, listen, welcome to all of you who are watching via video. But I got to tell you, there's something about being with each other. And we're watching it, by the way. Have you seen some of these kids who don't know how to interact with anybody because they never interact with anybody? Their life is on a screen, and they don't know how to touch and be touched. And this is not going to end well. And it's why we, the church, have to be the ones who change it. So suddenly you're realizing you need to go lay hands. You need to get in touch with people. Real touch. It's a big deal. One old preacher said it this way, there are many fillings because there are many leaks. Sometimes the world just starts to get us down a little bit, and somebody coming and reminding us who we are and laying their hands on us is an important thing. That's why 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." There's a connection between laying on of hands and being filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit and being stirred up to do what God wants you to do. Y'all getting this? Good. I'm glad you're getting it. This is important that we understand this. So all the things that I've talked about up till now are why this is foundational. And this would be one of those kind of messages you might want to listen to again because it's foundational. Like, you got to get this. I got to get this, by the way. Not just you. I got to get this in my head. And there's an appropriate time, you know. I prophesy over my waitresses sometimes, but I have yet to lay my hands on one. But if the opportunity arises, I will. But I'm not so sure you want to get up and, you know, here, get your head down here. Let me, you know. It's not a force yourself thing. It's an opportunity thing. Looking for God to use you to touch people and to make the difference. So, I'm going to do something now. I'm going to pray. You don't have to stand up for this because we're not quite done. But we're kind of going to be done here because we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for anybody who watches this maybe later or listens to this later, that this will just sink down into our hearts. And then we've got a little activity to follow. But we're going to end it for those who can't participate in the activity because it won't be really fun on audio anyway. You'll hear a bunch of people, but you won't. Okay, so let me pray for you. Put your hand on your own heart or on your head or something, wherever you need it to be. Lord, thank you for this word that is powerful and foundational to how we're supposed to live. And I pray that you will give us in this house a revival of touching others for you. Laying our hands and seeing you manifest your power, your presence, your healing, your deliverance, whatever they need, Lord. I believe you're going to do that to us and through us. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone who's heard this word. Let it just reside in us and become that piece of foundation that we need it to become for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.